There we are. Okay. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the opportunities of the hour, for your word, and the beauty of Thanksgiving. And we trust your blessing will be our portion in this hour, in Christ's name. Amen. We are talking about Thanksgiving as a 365, sometimes 366 day privilege. And it's something that is unique to Christians. It's interesting, the human race had a responsibility at one time in the past of being thankful, and rather than being thankful, they were unthankful. And it was part of the judgment upon the race, that issue. But as Christians, we have a unique privilege related to this concept of Thanksgiving, and so I want to make some observations that are going to do no more than remind you of what we've already been through before, what you've thought about before, I think, because we're at a point in time, we live in a day where sometimes there are a lot of things that are not conducive to Thanksgiving in the society in which we live. It's a really rather interesting when we... you have to be aware of things in order to be thankful, and your perspective cannot be an earthly perspective because that doesn't work very well. Because if you have an earthly perspective, you'll want to wallow rather than be thankful. And you can wallow in pity, you can wallow in discouragement and doubt because of the way this old earth goes. And it's so easy to let the earth get our heads down here so that we can think that maybe God abandoned us. And God hasn't abandoned us at all. Don't be agnostic about things. God is still in charge. Absolutely in charge. And we need to be reminded of that. This old world, I think it's been interesting in having just finished in haste, Isaiah and Jeremiah. This old world has been a mess for a long time. And yet even so, there is often promises in those prophets. Even at the last minute, it's almost as though the Babylonians are knocking on the door of Jerusalem. They only took a year and a half knocking at the door. They were there, and they said, you can still get your head where it needs to be in relationship to the God of Israel and cut out the crazy behavior that violates everything I told you to do. And so he even gave them an opportunity late, and some did have faith in God, but the nation as a whole suffered. And we understand that at that time. When we talk about Thanksgiving, our word is Eucharistia or Eucharisteo. Or Eucharistoi is another. There are three positive forms. Then you have a negative, unthankful. That's in Romans. We're not going to worry about the Romans passage. But Eucharisteo, there's an EU prefix, which means good. How it abbreviates out is an interesting development as to how it comes from agathos and ends up with an E-U, A-G-A-T-H-O-S. And there is no epsilon and no upsilon in that. And so it's kind of interesting, that, but it does tie to this concept of making one happy. This thing that it involves what God's doing to relate to providing a response. And so when we look at the idea of good or well, the idea of that which God sees as contributing to your well-being in a very positive sense. And I know there are times that it seems that God lets things happen in our lives, and Satan said, hey, you need to be discouraged. You need to doubt. You need to be disappointed. But Thanksgiving is something that is available to every Christian, and the only way it works is if you're a spirit-filled believer. And there are those people, and I've heard some, who've been saved a long time, and they do not happen to be very thankful. They do it every day, sometimes two or three times a day. And it's a ritual. You know, whatever we're about to eat, I'm thankful for it. And that's about the extent of many Christians' Thanksgiving, isn't it? You've never known anybody like that. You've never been that way, so I'm preaching not to the wrong audience here. But it's easy to get in a rut about this thing of Thanksgiving, and you have, especially around the food issue. And I'm not saying it's wrong to be thankful for food. I think we can be quite thankful for food in so many ways when we think in these terms. But these words occur in Scripture very often in the New Testament, and especially in that revelation that is addressed to Christians. And the verb is found 39 times, that is to be thankful, in the New Testament. In 15 of the New Testament books, 12 times it's found in the Gospels. And so it was something that also had an Old Testament flavor. It's rather interesting, in the Old Testament, the dominant root that is translated to give thanks is a word that can be translated to confess, to praise, or to give thanks. It's the same three radical root. So the context determines what it is. And it's kind of interesting. It seems almost to have an influence like on praise, more so in Hebrews 13:15, it says the sacrifice of praise confessing his name, his character. So you have confession with praise. But it's kind of an interesting thing in the Old Testament. We're not here to talk to you as Old Testament saints. We're here to talk to you as New Testament saints, as grace believers. And so we're talking about the good grace of God to grace believers, which involves the grace benefits package that we talk about so often. 26 times the verb is found in grace revelation. So there's a lot of thankfulness going on in the New Testament for anything and everything. It's really interesting when we look at that and understand it. The noun occurs 15 times, 13 of which occur in grace revelation, and the other two occur in the book of Revelation. And so this word is really very, very dominant when you have 39, I can't add. That's really 40. Let's just do it nicely and put the other word in here. We have Colossians 3:15. Is translated thankful. It's an adjective that's in a masculine plural. It's thankful ones. And we will cross that path as we go. So what is Thanksgiving? Those who have been in evening school, we give a definition and we'll simplify it. And that is, Thanksgiving is an expression of appreciation to God for benefits provided by His grace. Now, I put another definition, and again, it's a short definition in a sense. Thanksgiving is a communication of appreciation with God or to God for benefits past, present, and future provided by the grace of God. I like to put grace in there a little bit more than I used to, because that's the root idea. If you don't see what God has provided as something that you don't deserve, something that's gracious, it's hard to be thankful. You know, if you decided that you got this you got a bonus because of your efforts, then it's hard to be thankful for God to say it's grace because you think you worked for it. And grace cannot exist with works. And it's really interesting. I mean, it's so easy. Satan says, well, you did it. And God says, I put you where you could have that in that matter. So as we remember, it helps a great deal in this matter. So it's an expression of appreciation to God the Father, primarily. And there's a question about whether it could be addressed to either other person of the Trinity. If it's possible, I know it says thanks be to Jesus Christ, and it's not the word Eucharistia. when that word thanks is, it's just the word grace is. And they had to translate it thanks because they could see no grace related to God. You know, there could be grace, favor. I think you can see it often that there's favor between the persons of the Godhead. And it's okay to say it. But our King James translates it otherwise. On the cover of the bulletin, we go through these passages. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5 as a reminder. We have a problem when it comes to this thing of thanksgiving because of one word that is repeated in a variety of forms, as an adverb or as an adjective, and that's the word all. Sounds like a forum material that we went through not that long ago. All. Now, when is all not all? When you want to make it not all, but that's not that's your determination. It's not God's determination. And so when we see the word all, we are going to see in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, and if you have the notes and tag along in the notes, I have the Greek in there, so you can kind of see it. I'll present it as it is. But in chapter 5 and verse 20 of Ephesians, and we read it today, the giving thanks is one word. It's the verb eucharisteo. It's in a participle. And we've talked about this many times. You should all be acing this when it comes to, when it says, be filled. Be in a position so the Holy Spirit can make up deficiencies in your life. And as a filled believer, the results are the ings, speaking, singing, making melody, giving thanks, and submitting one to another. And so you have these all tying as a response to filling. This is going to happen supernaturally. When you're filled, that's what happens. I could say naturally, but it's not. It's supernatural. And so this singing, this giving thanks are always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, the Father is a recipient in the character of Christ. And the focus here is to the Father. I always have kind of a lot of fun relating to the communication class because I give a list of passages that demonstrate the fact that our communication is primarily, if not solely, to the Father. I mean, when we're doing it through Jesus Christ. That's why I think it's fun. I've really been thinking a lot, it happens at times like this in my life, about being at the right hand. When someone goes home, and they're a believer, I am so grateful that I can meet with, I mean, they are at the right hand just like I am right now. And so even though Roger was here in a shell for a while on earth, and his soul and spirit have been taken and put in another body, in an intermediate body, to await the rapture, he is still at the right hand just like he was down here. We're all together at the right hand. And so when you understand that, it deals with eternity rather than time. In the right hand, we're functioning outside of the realm of time, though we are in time, and it gives us the opportunity to let our heads tap eternity and get our heads thinking in terms of eternity. And it is a lot better to look down here from the right hand than to look horizontally from down here at everything that goes on. And when we do that, what does that mean? It means we look at it like God looks at it instead of like we as human beings look at it. That's what makes spiritual Christians different. That's what makes spiritual Christians different. You see what's happening down here. And sometimes there are some horrendous circumstances in our lives. And we look down as God looks down, and we are able to say, He is in charge, and I know it. And whatever is happening has a purpose. And that purpose is going to get Him glory in spite of the awfulness of what is being done on earth. And so this thing of thanksgiving is we give it through the Son to the Father, and it's like talking to the left, right there. Father, isn't it nice to be able to say Father and to know that you're not trying to aim at the right spot in the heavens in Christ. You just are seated there as comfortable as can be. That's why it's nice to be able to rest at the right hand. As you mature, you're going to find it so much easier to be at ease and be at rest in your position in Christ. Having an ongoing rest, I'm always reminded of that rest chapter. And I know it deals with a lot of Old Testament material, but when you get down to the end, I have a Sabbath rest. And I often have said, and I haven't had the opportunity to talk to a Seventh-day Adventist for a while about it. I believe in a, I am not a seventh-day Sabbath. I believe in a seven-day Sabbath. That is, I can rest 7 days. I don't have to wait for Saturday. And I do know the difference. I know Sunday is not the Sabbath. Not in the Jewish calendar, it isn't. And so that's a blessing to be able to say, I can rest 7 days. I can be involved with Sabbatismos. Hear it? That's Hebrews 4, one of the places where that occurs. And so we can have a 7 day rest. And when you're resting in your recliner at the right hand and looking down, as it were, boy, talking about making this anthropocentric, I'm looking down and seeing it like God does. Yeah, you can kick the feet up and just rest, spiritually speaking. And that makes a difference. And so you have that focus here, but it says, and if you were looking, if you happen to be looking, in the text, you have it in the order as it is in the English and in the Greek. It says, giving thanks always. And that's one of our all words. It's an adverbial form. And what it means is at all times. All the time. When we are relating to our God in a right manner, we know He's with us. And we know that in our position in heaven, we are always with Him there, whether we know it or not, whether we think about it or not. And at all times, you can be thankful. And it's really difficult sometimes. And I think of incidents, these little things that kind of bug me in my own life. I'm pretty careful about a lot of things. Monday night, we went down and we relocated from Carl's Jr. to Arby's. Thanks to the construction in Woodburn, that was a good reason to relocate. And so we go to Arby's and meet there. There's a, you know, the whole reason we went to Arby's, because there's a lady there that Jeff had a chance to talk to. And she would like to be able to hook into the web here. Had an interesting time talking to her. And we've seen her there, and Jeff had that opportunity to talk to her. And so maybe that's the whole reason we moved in that sense. But you know, it was interesting. I got out of the car at Arby's and took two steps, reached for my wallet, and it was hard to be thankful. I don't leave my wallet home I've done it twice at Woodburn now. And I didn't do it before Don came. So he's been a distraction. Though it worked out, he happened to have a little extra cash and I borrowed some money from him so I could have something to eat. Pays to have parking meter money too, that helps. Wouldn't have got a very good sandwich. But anyway, I mean, in that, it's hard to say, oh. You the thoughts that go through your mind when all these things happen. And to stop and to get to that point and say, okay, I'm thankful. Now, why did I do that, Father? I'm thankful for this, and it worked out just fine in that manner. And it would have And so it was. It's kind of interesting. That happened to be a thing this week. That then of course I wanted to make sure that I had it where I stash it at home. So it wasn't more than about 2 minutes after I got home, I made sure I had my wallet because that was I didn't want anybody to collect my ID in that matter. But there are lots of little things that happen that will, you know. Some mornings, I'm either getting old or spastic. Some mornings, I have to take a certain number of pills. And, you know, I don't know why they make so many pills round. Because I know they roll. And I take enough of them that if I drop one of the round ones, they don't fall right at my feet. They go across the floor. They just roll. It never happens to you, it just happens to me. I'm thankful in it. Sometimes I wonder on it because I have to, sometimes even have to get a flashlight and try to find it on the floor. And there's a blood pressure med, and when you're trying to find it, it raises your blood pressure. It really works in that matter. And when it says always, it literally says at all times. And it's there has to be a mental awareness. When you're related to the Holy Spirit and you're having that opportunity of being at ease in your relation to Him and to the Father and to the Son, this whole thing of being at ease, you just tend to learn automatically to be thankful. And that's one of those little litmus tests that exist. If something happens and you're not thankful, if you don't catch it, you may be sitting there in a spiritual limbo on the way to carnality if you're not thankful. And so you stop and think, whoa, I'm not to be here. In my thinking, and get my head where it belongs. Because these little things, these things have come on it. And I have my list of things that I have had to be thankful for on it. Brother Kevin Hill is babying my car. He wants me to make sure that I get as many miles out as I can. And he checks my oil when I go down to Woodburn. He's been doing that now, and I don't know what happened. Well, I do know what happened. We think we have it solved. I was running with heavier weight oil, and I took my car in, and they changed my oil without my telling them to, and they put a lighter weight oil in. So I got a little drip somewhere, and so anyway, I lifted my hood up, and I was trying to get the oil in, and the container I had a bigger spigot than the one that I have this screw-on thing to pour it with. And while I'm standing there trying to figure out what I'm going to do to get it in without, or trying to figure out where I have a funnel, all of a sudden, I've got this thing of oil sitting there, and my hood falls down. And I thought, this has never done this before, especially with my head in the way. I saw it moving. And I moved. And I said, Father, I don't know what that was all about, except this quart of oil was sitting in the front. And it came down and knocked the oil over. And I dumped probably a cup of it right down my pants and onto the pavement. Fortunately, they were old pants, and I didn't mind throwing them away. I washed them. They probably would have been waterproof, at least part of them, but I got rid of them in that matter. But it was interesting. Normally, and I don't tend, I mean, I've been raised not to use certain kinds of language. Like, I don't happen to know a lot of the things that I hear. And it was really interesting. It was not an oath when I said, thank you, Father. I mean, it was real. Because I mean, honestly, I thought about it. I said, you know, if it hit me in the head, this old bald head has no padding on it. And I'd have probably had a gash on my head, and my head tends to bleed easily. I don't know why it does. I guess most of ours do. But in that, I could be thankful. And that was and to top it all off, it was raining out. And so, I think about it, and it's really interesting when I understand always, all times, at all times. It goes on and says, for all things. Now, the word for is hooper. And those who were in prayer meeting when Chris went through hoopers, it has the idea of for or on behalf of all things. And but this last week was not a place where some folks in our area were really very thankful on behalf of all things. I had this little green envelope that I had to mail, and it was called the tax bill. And it's always hard for me to be thankful for sometimes paying taxes. I could waste money, but not like that. I see a lot of inefficiency, and it drives me nuts. I'm just enough efficient. Don't look at my study. I'm just as much efficient normally in this matter. But all things, you think of all things, for everything, it's really difficult. And I could use a lot of illustrations out of the political arena, and I will not. Because it's hard to be thankful often with what's going on. I told somebody when I was in college, in my freshman year, we were on quartet tour. And we traveled 6 weeks. I would guess we probably had maybe almost 40 meetings in that time. We did Bible camps and Sunday morning, Sunday evening. Did a lot of those things, singing and presenting the college and speaking. And at that time, it was back in the day. We came to the conclusion, or I did, and we kind of did. We drive up to a church and say, why doesn't it say First Republican Baptist Church of such and such a town? You'd walk in the door, and on the literature table, there'd be a stack of literature from John Birch Society. Some of you remember that. It was a strong conservative group, and it was not a problem. The media was taken then on, just like anything conservative they do today. And it was interesting. All you had to do is say one thing about politics, and you lost your spirituality. Or somebody you talked to would, because they wanted to talk politics. We didn't care about talking politics, and it was quite an interesting issue. There was so much upheaval, and as a young college kid, I said, "How can Christians be so upset with what is going on in this old world today? How can they be?" And that was a mechanism. God could be thankful in that. I'm not sure I was at the time. But it was a mechanism God used to help me see things a little bit more objectively. It didn't hurt anything to see it. So, at all times, on behalf of all things, with no exceptions. Now, I'm sorry, there's no exceptions here in this, and we understand that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 is another all. We have a neuter, singular, adjective, it's what we call a collective singular in this case. And in 5:18, it's in that list of fun things in that Thessalonian epistle, in that fifth chapter. And in 5:18, you have this passage that says, in everything, give thanks. Now, maybe some of my illustrations so far were in rather than on behalf of. But it works either way, where we are, to be thankful. God is being gracious in some way in what happens. I know there will be times when you do not know what God is doing with some of the things that happened to you. It wasn't that long ago I was talking to somebody and they said, I never could figure out why God did that to me. But as of this, you know, at this point in time, I now know, because I was prepared to relate to someone else who would have a similar problem and I could help them. Years later. That's great when you understand that. But to be thankful, when that happens a few times as you're, you know, a little bit more mature and you've been down the road a piece in your Christian life, and you see that often God will do that. And so what happens when you have something like that, you're thankful and you say, God, I don't know why you did it, but I can only wait to find out why and who I'm going to be able to help with this and this matter of handling it. And sometimes we blow it, and we can help somebody because we don't have to. We can encourage them not to blow it like we did. And so we can be thankful. And in this matter, in everything, give thanks. Why? This is the desirous will of God. That's what it says. In Christ Jesus concerning you. That's what he desires you to do as you live in your position in Christ. I like that little hint. A little hint at the right hand. You have that relationship in Christ, and so you can be thankful in everything. I'm thankful that I'm living here today and not in Buffalo, New York. If I was in Buffalo, New York, they found some guy in a snowdrift, 50 years old, and he was frozen. Hypothermia, and then he died. I'm thankful I don't have to live with 6 feet of snow. Though I have fond memories of deep snow that made the roof creak and pulled some of the boards apart, I'm thankful I don't have to scoop the snow off of my roof. When we were kids, they had a 6 foot of snow. Came down in the town we were in the Sierras. And they had, it was crazy. They said, why do you build ranch houses in these mountain or semi-mountain towns? Well, that just probably hasn't happened since that time. I don't think anybody there believed that we had 6 feet. I have pictures to prove it. And the building was a ranch house, relatively new. And you could hear it creak. And my dad went up and took a look. And he got on the roof in a big hurry, and the kids had a ball. We could run up the snow into the roof and slide down off of the roof and not get hurt, because that's the way it was. And we were really thankful for it. And we were probably, I know we were a little young to shovel snow off the roof. And I'm thankful my father did not have a heart attack from all the effort he went through to try to get that off so the roof wouldn't collapse. Buffalo, New York, it didn't happen real lot. There were roofs that went down. And so I'm thankful I'm here. But if I was in Buffalo, I'd have the privilege of being thankful I was in Buffalo. I'm not sure what the Buffalo Bills are thinking today. Is it better to go to Detroit than to be in Buffalo in the snow? I'm not sure in that matter. So there you have, you're in everything. In anything that happens, think of your own illustrations for me in this matter. In what kinds of things? What happened to you this week where you found yourself in something you didn't think you could be thankful for? Maybe you should have been and weren't. Maybe you were, and that's, it's God gets the glory. And that's what we look forward in this thing of being thankful. For all men, who bear on behalf of all men. Now, if anybody has a problem with understanding the all here, it's pantone, which is a masculine plural. It precedes the word anthropos or anthropone. In other words, all men. That is not a generic term saying it's not for women. We are thankful for both. It's used to go both ways. Now, ladies, that does not give you a chance if you have somebody that some catty woman that you run across in the workplace or in the market, it doesn't mean you can't be thankful for them. on it. It would be nice if God gave us a list of people we should be thankful for and people we should not. It would be a lot easier, wouldn't it? It probably would help our sanctification. But no, we by the Spirit, He does give us that list in a sense. And when you look at people, there are people and you say, oh, it's a personality conflict. Well, it may be a personality conflict, but what do you have? You have a chance to be thankful for that person. I have my favorite little example of it. You know, the customer that used to come in at Montgomery Ward when I was at work. And I'm telling you, everybody else on the sales floor had, all of a sudden, they had a need to use a restroom or they had to do something. They evacuated like rats on a sinking ship when this guy came in. And they left me abandoned on the floor. And I would have run too, except somebody had to be there. And this guy would come in. And he would just, he was just obnoxious. I mean, totally obnoxious. And I would go home, if he came in on a Saturday, it almost wrecked my Sundays. He was Jewish. Yeah, that's right, Don. Anyway, but you know, I'd have a rough time. I tried not to take my work home, but he was one guy I tended to take home. It lasted maybe 6 months or a year. And it wasn't long because I treated him right and ignored him and he couldn't get away with his obnoxiousness with me because he couldn't get a response that he wanted. And so next thing you know, it was no time. I was the guy he came for. And the rats didn't abandon the ship when he came. I mean, they would stay there. They just, he's in the back room or he's here. We'll get him, you know. And we became pretty good friends. And it was interesting when he had decided he was going to retire. He had a whole bunch of apartments. That's why we saw him a lot. And when he was ready to retire, he said essentially that he wouldn't probably be doing as much business, but when he came in, he'd come by to see me. And and there was a day that was the last thing I'd want to hear, you know. But you know, I became thankful for old Oscar. It took me a little while to get. What it did for me to teach Sunday school Sunday morning, sometimes on Saturdays, was not exactly good. And that was part of God's maturing me. And I look at it, and it made me much more mature when I saw people like that. And he was deliberately obnoxious in that matter. And so we have this, and this for all men is 1 Timothy 2:1. I didn't read it, and I just started on it. I exhort, therefore, that first of all prayers, prayers, and prayers, and prayers be made for all men. No, that was the old. That was the modern English version. And what does it actually say? That supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks or thanksgivings be made for all men. So you can be thankful for some of those people. Obnoxious neighbor. Thank you, Father. Nice neighbor. Thank you, Father. Clerk that got up this morning and was having a bad day and was obnoxious. Thank you, Father. And you don't know. Sometimes we look at this when we relate to other people. God might be using us because of our attitude to help someone else. And if we're thankful, we will understand that maybe better. In that matter, because we have a relationship where? At the right hand. Now in 5:20, we already touched this context, and we do this every time we come through here, because it's something we always need to be reminded of. Stop being drunk with wine. We did that in the passives. Ethyl alcohol will make you drunk. But be filled, another passive. Let somebody else fill you. Get out of the way and let him do his thing in this matter. And then you have these four participles to follow. And thanksgiving is the one kind of eight communication forms that we have, the one kind that is a mark of spirituality. Now, I've sometimes wondered if I should teach that or not, because some people will, because they like their bootstraps, they think they just have to say thank you, Father, all the time just so they can say they're spiritual. That's not what it's all about. It's an automatic response to his filling. When you know he's, the Holy Spirit is filling you, making up your deficiencies, you're going to have, I mean, you just automatically just want to say thank you. That was so gracious of you. And that was good. And you think in these terms. And so you direct that thanksgiving to the Father in that context. Now, I want to go over to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. It's not in the normal list because it's a form that is found by its lonesome. It's a noun, but it's a different kind of noun. It's eucharistos is our form. And so it's not in the normal list. I've got the four of them that I mentioned when we were in the intro. And this only occurs at this one point. And what does it say in Colossians 3, 17? Well, let's read 16 first. Let the word concerning the Christ dwell in you. And it's really interesting. Let it indwell in you. It's important. The in is important. It's in the verb and it's a preposition separately. Indwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, in work or in word or in work, if you want an alliterated outline. The word deed is the word for work or exertion of energy. Do all in the name or the character of the Lord Jesus Christ while giving thanks to God, even the Father, by Him. Now, again, there you have the Father isolated. And whatever you do in word or work, you can be thankful anytime you have anything to say. And that's running in the background. This thing of thanksgiving, if your mind is at the right hand of the Father and your reflective thinking is there, you're just kind of running with this thanksgiving mode. That's the best program in your mind there is for a saint. To be able to run with thanksgiving always there. Whatever you say, you're thankful that you have. And maybe it might put some limits on what you say. Because you may not say the things that would be glorifying to God, and you may be wanting to express yourself very well because you've got a nature that just, you got to react to this. We all do it, so it's not a big, I'm pointing at any one person. We've all done this, and whatever we do, there are things we enjoy doing, and it's easy to be thankful. And we all have different things that we enjoy. And it's easy for some of us to be thankful doing something that someone else would not tend to be thankful for. And when we understand that, it's amazing when we say, it's all grace. And we're all individuals. And it's always, I mean, it's interesting to me. Some of you enjoy dusting. I'd rather wait till I can use a putty knife. In that, I mean, it's something that I just don't have time to get on that end of that electrostatic duster. And I understand now better the problems with knickknacks. The knickknacks that were around are fewer than they were a dozen years ago. One reason is because I don't like to move them and try to dust around them. Yesterday I stopped a moment and I looked at a spot that I hadn't looked at for a while, and I almost needed a putty knife because I thought, what in the world? How did that get there? And it was just pure old, right from behind those tractors that run outside of Forest Grove. All that dust and dirt. And I thought, oh boy, I don't have time to take everything apart and do it. I've got a whole lot of those projects that always are standing in my wings. But here you have this privilege, whatever work you do. And I'm at a point I can even be thankful when I have I'm trying to dust. I know that if someone was still with me, I would have been lectured more than once about not doing the job with dusting. Because that just happened to be one of those things that happened once in a while. And I thought, come on, that's not fair. You know, there's got to be something that I don't like to do that you let go on it. But you see here, whatever your work is, whatever you have to say, to be thankful. And thanksgiving, and being, and what it says in the text is to be thankful one. Now it's interesting when we see in Scripture so often that you can be thankful for food. It's kind of interesting. We're not going to take a lot of time to hustle Thanksgiving for food. But there are a number of places that in Scripture that talked about it. There is a big example of a sort because of those references to the upper room. When it talks about Christ giving thanks, and it was for more than just what they ate. But he did before the table. He knew what there was. They had no idea when he gave thanks in the upper room that he blessed the bread and he was thankful for it and with the cup. And they had no idea. There's a whole lot more involved in that event. They may have thought that they were participating in a Passover event and didn't know how far it went. In Acts chapter 27, I'm trying to get my persons here. Acts 27:35, it says, and when he had thus spoken, he took bread, gave thanks to God in the presence of them all, and when he had broken it, he began to eat. And this is Paul in this. And so there was thanksgiving. Now there's a verse that I want. Okay. 1 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Okay, what's your least favorite vegetable? God designed that so you could receive it with thanksgiving. You know, kind of interesting. There are kinds of food. We all have different tastes. And there are times, I mean, what would happen if you were invited to my house for dinner and I served that one you hated the most? And I cooked it just the way that you didn't like it cooked. Could you receive it with thanksgiving? Now that I've laid the gauntlet, you know, that's why I don't say, but no, I don't have a lot of problems with what I like and don't like on it. I guess when you are raised, when you don't have a huge amount of food available sometimes, and you ate the same thing over and over sometimes, that was all that you had as a family sometimes, that you got thankful for anything. because fortunately we had a mix. My mother was a magician. She could take anything and make it work. I have never seen anybody that could do what my mom could do. People love to come and visit about 11 o'clock in the morning. You know, they knew they'd be invited to lunch. And it was because of what my mom would do. I mean, there were days she literally did add water to soup, so that there would be something for someone who visited. It was kind of always interesting when that happened. And they thought that was El Primo, because she was a good cook and could do that. But to be thankful for food. And I don't mind having a ham sandwich. But if you were Jewish in the New Testament era and somebody gave you a ham sandwich, would you be thankful? After all, you were raised not to have ham. You were raised that that was unclean. And so, what are you going to do? Somebody offers you a plate of oysters, deep fried, with tartar sauce. And they offered it to you and you were Jewish. And you said, what am I going to do? I'm a Christian. The law says this is unclean. How about clam strips? You see, it's also unclean under law. And there were those in the Pauline era where they had that exact problem on it. And then you have the problem of somebody bringing a nice thick T-bone and they set it on a plate and they say, boy, don't you like this? I just got it in the marketplace and it was down at that temple meat booth. And they'd slice the T's off from the sacrificial animals to the food offered to idols. And there were Christians that could not take that with Thanksgiving on it. And you know what God said about that. He said, God created it all, and if it stumbles a brother, don't eat it. But if it doesn't stumble a brother, and it doesn't stumble you, eat it. You'll probably never get another T-bone that good again, you know, in that matter. And so that's that kind of focus. So it's okay. And so Romans 14:6 says, he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. Now we get to the eat thing. He that eateth to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. That's one of the things, being thankful for what you didn't eat. Now, yeah, it was a big dilemma. Do you offend somebody by not eating what they offer? I have a rule. I used to drink a lot of coffee in college. I found out it wired me. For 4 years, I drank so much coffee, I made up for the rest of my life with that coffee. And, it was every time I got near a coffee cup, I did. Got to seminary and I realized I needed some sleep, and I had to take that. I couldn't sleep well with coffee, so I quit to a point, and I took it medicinally, which meant that I took it when I needed to be awake for something in seminary, and so that was my medicine. And so I would, because of the hours, would take coffee. So that was my medicine. And then what happened, I became a pastor, and now I am a coffee social drinker. If somebody would be offended because I wouldn't drink their coffee, I'll drink it. But if they won't be offended, I won't drink it. So I haven't had coffee for 2 or 3 years now. One time I was in a flight to Reno. That was, I think, the last time I had coffee. No, I had one. I had one at Don's, and that brought me for the rest of my life. There was some maid there, and I was real woozy, and I better try to get a hit here. But I, going to Reno, there was a Southwest flight, and they had in their drinks they had orange juice, which is sugar, and they had coffee, which doesn't have sugar unless you ask for it. So I was thirsty, and I had coffee. So, see, that's a memorable event in my life. I told you, I'm a social coffee drinker in that. But you see, I'm not doing it for health reasons outside of the fact that I like to try to sleep. And the older I get, the more sleep I think I need. Or maybe I'm understanding I need my 8 hours instead. That sometimes happens in that matter. So, and Jeff hit the nail on the head. When Don asked that question about, thanks to God, thanks for remembering things and people. And example of it is Philippians 1:3. I thank my God for every remembrance of you. That's Philippians 1:3. Eucharisto. for every remembrance of you. It's kind of interesting when you realize the time you spend with other saints and how you relate. And Paul's talking about the Philippians. What kind of memories could Paul have had? He and Barnabas were able to sing duets in jail. And when they sang duets, they had very, very, very sore bodies, backs, buttocks. They had been beaten with a Roman beating. The blood oozed out of their back. And they remembered that Philippian jailer. And he came in. And I've been doing this evaluation of storybooks. And so I thumbed through storybooks. I'm trying to find some that are more accurate than others. I thought I found one that didn't have that had angels without wings. And it wasn't the best one before I saw angels without wings. And so I thought, I don't need my grandson to watch get that diluted perspective. But the best book I found so far is one that has angels with wings. And I thought, oh man, if I read this, I'm going to have to make it real clear, real quick. I'll go right to the angel story and then knock the angel's wings off. And that way if somebody else reads it, he'll say, no, they don't have wings. That would be good if Kenyon did that. But I did find one without. But in reading those, there was a story in one of them. I'm trying to get it put together. I'm going to take a storybook with me to Washington. And Kenyon and I are probably going to do reading of some Bible stories. That will help him be exposed to some things he needs to get a little exposure to. And so when I go up, I'll probably be reading these. But it had the picture of, I mean, it had a story, the story of Paul and Silas and the Philippian jailer thing. And the artwork was kind of great. I mean, here's this jailer down there and his sword's laying out in front of him. And it's like, you saved my life in the picture. But you realize when they weren't in Philippi very long. But every remembrance they had. And it seems when he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And thy house, that is, if they believe, they will be saved. So he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure he gave all the details of what they needed to believe about Jesus Christ to be saved. What a memory. To see this Roman, this guy who's in charge of a Roman prison, gets saved, he takes him home, bathes his wounds, feeds him, takes care of these guys, and he sees the glory of God manifested in the salvation of a group of people in Philippi. And I've often wondered what he thought when he wrote this. I think in pictures often. And did he think of faces? He may have thought of faces. And he wasn't thankful because one was good looking and the other wasn't. He was thankful because they were human beings. And they had become citizens of heaven. Forgot the S. That's Philippians again. In that matter. He was thankful. I mean, if I say he, because Paul was very much thankful for groups of people. Look at how many times he starts books like Colossians and 1 Thessalonians. I thank God for you. And in the King James, that is your plural. Groups of people. You start thinking back and you say, I'm thankful for groups of people. I look back, and as a young person, I look back to people that I knew in the church. And now that I am more mature, I understand why some people were the way they were. But I also know that they, I'm sure, were saints of God. And I'm thankful for the remembrance of groups of people. And the problem is, you get a little older, you're finding out that there are parts of that group that are in glory. And I think of some of those key people that I have some fond memories of that are gone. I think in particular of some of the deacons that were in the church that my dad pastored. And how, I was a pallbearer in one of the funeral services because he died of a brain tumor. Another one died of cancer, though he had left our area. And I think of these men and how I could look at them and say, these were good examples, and they mingled well with the people. And I felt as a child that they were somebody that God was using, and I didn't understand how much until I got older. It's good to remember. Maybe you ought to stop just a second, and you can do it in your head, and thank God for something that just came to your mind of some group that you were in. At one time, don't forget this group and be thankful. You knew how often I'm thankful for you guys. I was thinking this week as to who I pray for here. I don't see anybody here. I don't. When I remember you, I may be interceding for you, I may be supplicating for you, but you know, there's something that always goes with it, and that's Thanksgiving. Because I'm thankful for every one of you. And when somebody has a need, when I realized that Lori had lost Roger, I supplicated for her, or I really interceded for her, that God would give her the strength in her attitude was great in that whole thing. And I supplicated for her, and I was thankful to God for that family and what had happened during the time we spent together here. So it's okay to be thankful for groups. If you're thankful for one another, it's going to change your attitude toward one another. That's gracious. God, by His grace, brings people in the door to gather and assemble, and it's not a mistake. And so as we mingle, it's interesting when you think about it, you come here, God has people here to make a mark on you in some way, and so you can be thankful for it. It's okay. It's the way God does things. And so that's an observation that I have. When we talk about praying for one another, make sure we're thankful. It affects us. It doesn't affect God so much, but it does us. Because we appreciate His grace in letting us be together. And there's nobody here that I'm not thankful for. And don't use me as a good example. I'm not the greatest role model in the world. But it's something that is very much a burden in my thoughts when I think of the people here. I have to be real careful not to call you my people. I know you're somebody else's in that matter. Thanksgiving in our conduct and for it, I won't go there. But the thing I want to punch a little is this thing of Thanksgiving for spiritual blessings. Being thankful for all of the spiritual blessings. If your head is where it needs to be and your reflective thinking is on things above, too many pages of notes here because I want one verse and I'm not going to look it up. That's it right there. Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks unto the Father which made us meet to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light. We all have the same inheritance. And so when we think about it, how can you not be thankful for one another? But the blessings you have, the benefits package, and I think I'm going to wear that out. I began to wonder if I was going to wear that idea out back when. It's been several years since I've been using that as much as I have. But the benefits package is everything we have because we are placed in Christ and Christ was placed in us. And so this thing of being thankful, if you're bored and you can't look for anything to be thankful about, think of what you have in Christ. Get your head where it belongs and enjoy it. Thank God for the good grace of God there at the right hand. And let me get one. No, that was the last verse, 3:15 of Colossians. And let the peace of God be an empire in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. In one body, and be ye thankful. Thanksgiving is an interesting time of the year. It is a supernatural response because of the filling of the Spirit in the life of a believer for the benefits that are provided by grace. They can be physical, they can be spiritual, as we have noted. And as we share, it's interesting, as we are thankful ones, what an opportunity to give God glory for His love, which is manifested in His grace. And if we see it, we're seeing something the infinite God does for finite human beings so that His glory can be manifested through those finite beings. And we're appreciative of that privilege. So we say, thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. May you bless us as we think on these things, Father. We appreciate it because we know to you is the glory for all things. May these words be those which remind us of truths that we have heard before and often think about, it, but may they just be those friendly reminders that will get you the glory you so deserve. And then we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.